9, dear general seasons and special permit regulations, this again is a briefing and a public hearing. Dr. Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the Commission, again, my name is Jerry Nelson. I'm the Deer and Elk Section Manager for the Department, and I'll be briefing you on the deer general seasons and the deer special permits proposed. So just to run through a little bit of status information and some of the deer populations that are of most interest to folks. Doesn't mean that all of them aren't of interest, but some of the more paid attention to, for lack of good grammar, populations. Using the zones that we put in the Whitetail Deer Management Plan, just taking a quick look at what we've got going here, and I might mention both for this agenda item and the next agenda item, 2014 is the third year of a three-year package, and so we're really not bringing any major changes to you that you would normally see at the beginning of a new three-year package. And so you'll see here that all of these areas for whitetail deer, we're proposing pretty much status quo seasons for all of them. On the status side of things, in the Selkirk zone, the preliminary data is starting to suggest some slight increase there, and so that's somewhat encouraging. We'll see some of that information in a bit. It's not all straightforward, but some of it is suggesting some improvement there. The Palouse area, no real changes there. Blue Mountains, both the harvest data and some of the aerial surveys that were conducted this year, at least in the areas where we were surveying, seem to be some stable to possibly even some increasing on whitetail deer. Columbia Basin, no real changes there. Same with North Cascades. In the Okanagan Highlands, our harvest data is our main source of information, but we do have a limited amount of aerial survey information as well. It's not because the surveys are limited, it's because we're surveying for mule deer and we pick up a little bit of information on whitetail deer when we're doing that. So one of the popular topics is whitetail deer in Northeast Washington. We've talked a lot over the last few years with the Commission about whitetail deer management in Northeast Washington. Just a little bit of background, you all know and remember this, but the longer history on Northeast Washington included some fairly aggressive antlerless hunting opportunities that the department had been proposing and commission adopting, mostly to deal with damaged situations. And then on top of that, two back-to-back fairly severe winters. And so as a result of those things and probably a lot of other things that we know or suspect or theorize about, those populations took a turn downward and a turn that we weren't happy with. And so our more recent objective for that part of the state for whitetail deer is to increase the populations in GMUs 101 to 121. One of the ways we approached that was to reduce antlerless hunting opportunity over the last few years, and that was both through cutting back on special permits and also cutting back quite a bit on some of the general season opportunities. And in addition to that, in 2011, the commission adopted a four-point minimum antler point restriction in two of the GMUs, 117 and 121, which has also helped with reducing buck mortality in those two GMUs. So looking a little bit at the information that we collect that's available to us, these are some of the standardized road routes that we run every year spread out through GMUs 105 through 121. Now, this is one of the pieces of data that probably isn't that encouraging. The bottom row is what I'm really paying attention to, and that's the deer per mile metric when we're looking at all of these routes together. Last year, we had a little bit of an encouragement when we saw that 6.9 number. We'd really like to see that up in more of the 7, 8, 9 deer per mile. Challenge here is that the road routes come with an awful lot of their own baggage, and so they're quite variable. They don't always work perfectly, and it's not the only piece of information that you want to hang your hat on, but it can be informative. Some of the buck ratio information that was collected on those routes in the August time frame looks a little bit better. We're seeing at least an uptick for 2013, but as a long-term time series, there really isn't a lot of change here for the last 10 years or so. The next few slides I'm going to show you are going to be based on raw reported harvest data. The reason I'm doing that is because I want to do an apples-to-apples comparison. Our 2013 harvest estimates aren't completed yet. We're hoping to have those done prior to the April Commission meeting, and I'd like to bring some of that to you at the April meeting. But in order to make apples-to-apples comparisons, I'm showing you the raw reported data before we run those through the statistical models to estimate final harvest, final hunter numbers, final hunter days. And so looking at the raw data for all of those GMUs, 101 through 121, the hunter days since 2008 has dipped down a little bit. We expected that because we put an awful lot of restrictions in place, both on antlerless opportunity and also some antler point restrictions. So that really wasn't a surprise to us. What is a little bit encouraging is the raw reports for deer harvest seem to be slightly creeping up a little bit. Now, it's not a huge change, but hopefully that trend will continue over time. On the hunter numbers, picking GMUs 117 and 121, where we have the four-point antler restriction, not a lot of change since the antler point restriction was put into place. But in those same GMUs, when we're looking at raw reported deer harvest, we are seeing a little bit of change there. We are seeing a bit of an increase in both of those GMUs. So hopefully that's something that we can take some encouragement from as well. I don't think we can just point to antler point restrictions on this one, because you'll see some of the other GMUs and groupings are behaving similarly. So part of the picture is cutting back on the antlerless opportunity as well. Very similar metric. The previous was total deer harvest. This is white-tailed deer buck harvest, and those trends are performing the same way. When you look at all of the other GMUs for white-tailed buck harvest, as you can see, each GMU sort of performs and behaves a little bit differently. So there are not a lot of trends you can pull out of this. There's a fair amount of variability up and down. And the same is true of reported hunter numbers in the various GMUs that don't have the antler point restriction. No story being telling there. So moving on to, and I'll summarize all of the deer stuff at the very end, the status on mule deer populations. Again, end of a three-year package, so we're not recommending any major changes to seasons. In the Okanagan, both the Meadow and the Okanagan watersheds are looking pretty good, pretty stable. The buck ratios that were surveyed this late November, early December are at objective, and so we're pleased with that. We're anxious to see what the harvest data look like for those for our mule deer in that part of the world. In the Chelan area, we were only able to fly composition counts this year. The weather really didn't cooperate with us, which is not uncommon in that neck of the woods. So the intent is at least got some good buck ratio information, and we'll try to do some total population estimation in spring green up. That won't give us additional buck ratios. It'll simply give us total deer estimate, but we'll take it. Blue Mountains, we were surveying some pieces of District 3 that we hadn't surveyed in a while. And part of the reason we focused on that is some of the harvest information was trending down somewhat. The surveys were actually very impressive, very encouraging. And so the harvest data showing some trends down isn't entirely a function of population numbers. There might be some access to hunting opportunities on private lands in that neck of the woods. So we see that where we surveyed this year in late November, early December as stable to increasing. in the Columbia Basin, the last few years I've been coming to you with phases 1, 2, and 3 of some cross-region, cross-district survey work that's been very effective. This is a new coverage this past year and providing some new baseline information there. No warning flags or anything like that. Things look pretty good in the areas that we surveyed. No reason to suggest any kind of needed changes. In the Douglas County zone, typically doing driven road counts there. A lot of private land, but also a lot of open country with not a lot of security cover. And so we do harvest a lot of the legal bucks in that area. But the buck ratios seem to be stable and still meeting objective. We had a tremendous count last year, and this year still not too bad, especially given that habitat. Then the Central Cascades in the north half, we're typically relying on harvest data to make our harvest decisions on that at this time for mule deer. Just some of the information that was collected this year on some of these both flights and road counts. Number estimated or number classified, I wouldn't get too hung up on those numbers just because that's very much a function of the size of the landscape that was being surveyed in the sampling units. But the buck ratios, the post-hunt buck ratios from November, December are at objective across the board. And the fondo ratios looking pretty good. No warning signs there. We'd like to see that Blue Mountains number up a little bit more, but certainly not a red flag of any kind. And then shifting over to black-tailed deer, most of the information that we use to monitor black-tailed deer in western Washington is relying on the harvest data that comes in. And then we do have some air and ground counts that take place down in the Klickitat country, the sort of that transition zone from black-tailed deer to mule deer, and things are looking fairly stable there, and so recommending status quo. So to summarize the deer season recommendations, again, status quo for most of the seasons, especially the general seasons. As every year, we propose some adjustments to the special permits, both up and down, using the special permit allocation formula. When we use the special permit allocation formula is when we're offering typically quality or buck hunts that are offered to all three user groups, so that we use commission-approved formula that helps us use a harvest target to determine the number of permits to each of the three user groups. Sometimes they go up, sometimes they go down, because it's dependent on 5-year success rates and participation rates and harvest targets. Of course, always we're adjusting antlerless permits up or down to address agricultural damage issues and nuisance issues. That's an annual. Same with response to population numbers. Those two points kind of go hand in hand a lot of times. And with that, I'll try to answer any questions you have on the deer seasons.
Good job. Any questions? Well, you haven't brought too many controversial topics to the table.
Not this time. Maybe next year.
Yeah, because there have been times when we've had over 100 angry stakeholders ready to give us their thoughts. This one seems like a modest set of proposals. So, and no questions? All right, has anyone signed up? Yes, we do have some citizens who want to speak with us. Thanks. Okay, we've got a number of people. And I think most of you have talked with us in the past, but just to reiterate, we give each person 3 minutes. We'd like you to come forward, sit in front of a mic. You don't need to speak too closely to the mic. But when you hear the beeping noise, we'd like you to conclude your remarks. Okay, Dan Marcotte, would you come forward, please?
Thank you again for hearing me. I'm not going to go into a great detail. When we talk about harvest rates and the three main tools, archery, muzzleloader, and modern rifle, here again, we're talking about the normal hunter. And with the crop damage and all the other programs that we have, I just want to make sure that you guys listen to the disabled hunter, because there is such a small amount. And I have statistics that I'd like to wrap up in that disabled hunter section I'd like to give you. And so you really know the concrete facts of how discriminated we are, especially when it comes to harvest special permits. Dave Ware and I had a meeting last week where we sat down, and I told him the percentages of disabled hunters and permits, and he wasn't aware that it was so small. And with the escalation of the baby boomers coming into retirement age, an age where things go wrong and bad things happen to good people, that small portion of the harvest that's traditionally for disabled people has remained. And, you know, Dave and I went over this, and he says it's really time we take a look at that. So I just want to reiterate that it is time for a change, and we don't want to have to file lawsuits. And this is where it starts. And I just really appreciate you guys listening and take it in, and hopefully we can make some adjustments and come to a conclusion. I really appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
Al Martz.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, my name is Al Martz. Jerry already went over some of what I have to say here, and I'm going to go through this real quickly because I don't have much time. But I'm here representing the Northeastern Washington Wildlife Group, the Stevens County Fish and Wildlife Advisory Council, and the Stevens County Commissioners. We are in support of and would like to see the 4-point antler point restriction continue in 117 and 121. The main purpose of this 4-point was to increase the population, increase the buck doe ratios and the fawn doe ratios. The buck doe ratio, as Jerry said, has improved slightly. And one thing you want to keep in mind here is that we've been real limiting the doe harvest in those GMUs. So that actually skews that that ratio, so it's up even better than what it would show with typical doe harvest. The fawn doe ratios are in the low 30s. They should be at least in the 50s and 60s, like Jerry showed there for the mule deer, even higher. But until we do something with the predators, I don't see that number coming up a whole lot. Transect counts, like Jerry said, we're at 5.9. We need to be 8 to 9, should be 8 to 9 per mile. In 2013, the check station counts for bucks harvested in 117 and 121 were back to second and third highest in the seven northeastern GMUs. Keep in mind, this was with no spike, forked horn, or three-point harvest, so there's which is normally 40 to 50% of your harvest. So this is up considerably. In 117 and 121, the 2013 harvest was 22% less than in 2010 before we started this, but there were about 25% fewer hunters. There again, we didn't harvest any yearlings, forked horns, or 3 points. Also, in the 2011 yearlings that we let go in the first year of this program are just becoming mature whitetail here in 2014. So we're just starting to see the effects of that as well. The decrease in hunter numbers, that people said it was a lot of that was to the 4 point. Well, that's all throughout all of northeastern Washington. It's not just 117 and 121. The hunter numbers in Northeast went from, in 2008, 15,372 to 2013, 10,532. So we had a 32% decrease in hunters in 5 years. That can be the economy, the cost of fuel, the lack of game, the age of hunters. There's a lot of reasons for it. The biggest complaint of the 4 point rule is probably the lack of youth opportunity. This was never our intentions to begin with. Here again, representing the Northeastern Washington groups there and the county commissioners, we would propose to extend the 4 point restriction through the 2015-2017 3-year package. And along with that, we'd like to expand the youth opportunities for does and allow youth to harvest any buck in the early general season. Hopefully that's something the commission can do, because we haven't had much luck with the does and allowing the youth to hunt the bucks. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Dale Maggard.
Thank you again, Madam Chair and Commissioners. I'm just going to basically say ditto to what Al said. I'm also a member of the Stevens County Commissioners Fish and Wildlife Advisory Council up there and the Northeast Washington Wildlife Management Group. About the only thing I'm going to add to that is those numbers that he's talking about, when you factor in the fact that there were 5,000 less hunters and their harvest is going up, should be a pretty good sign that this may be working here. You know, let's continue it and see what happens. The other thing is my cousin, who's the chairman of that Northeast group up there, works at Big R. And 3 or 4 years ago, behind the sports counter up there, he was getting all kinds of flack because nobody was seeing bucks. Nobody was seeing bucks. That's turned around. He's getting the word now that there's bucks out there. So I'm going to speak on behalf of him, and I'll finish. Thank you very much.
Great. Good news. Okay, next one is Gary Dubia. I don't know about this here. Can't wait to hear what you have to tell us.
Well, thanks, Madam Chair and Commissioners. It's much nicer on this side of the panel. And I just be brief. I got 2 points. One, the four-point system is a test. I think we need another 2-3 years to really conclude the results of it. But the first 2 years are exceeding expectations. The harvest is up. The buck-doe ratios are up. Population seems to be growing. So it seems to be we're headed in the right direction. Two couple problems there, though. If you go back into that 7, 8, 9 period, we were harvesting about 9,000-10,000 deer. We're now harvesting 4,000 or 5,000 deer. And if you saw Jerry's transects that they're counting, we were counting 9 or 10 deer per mile. Now we're 5 or 6 deer per mile. and you look at the harvest numbers and you combine it with what we're seeing on the sites, we have a population problem. And all the stats are coming up. Our does are increasing, our buck-doe ratios are increasing, but our fawns are decreasing. It's perfectly clear to us that we have a predator problem. And the local people are trying to do the things such as coyote derbies and so forth to help impact the fawn recovery. But the predator problem continues to get worse from just about every standpoint. I was pleased to hear that you're addressing man-eating goats as a predator. And I think it's about time that we started looking a little more seriously at the six or so cougars taken out of yards in Stevens County, the five or six that are shot by citizens in Wenatchee area. Predators are a problem. And I don't think our science is so bad. It's just that we start with the wrong population number. So our harvest numbers are skewed way below what they should be. And the predator population continues to increase. And we need to look at some way to balance that. And I don't know what that secret is, but we shouldn't be shooting them out of yards. And if you do it by the age harvest to see we're shooting young animals, and that means we're shooting too many, big question in my mind is we're probably shooting young ones because they're forced out of the public land into private land, and the young ones are the dumb ones. And so we're harvesting more of them. So I think we got to address habitat. Our public lands are probably some of the worst habitat we've ever seen in Northeast Washington. And I know our department is working on burns and trying to do some enhancements, but habitat and predators, I think, are the two easiest ways to address the decreasing number of hunters we got, loss of revenues to the department, big loss of revenues to the citizens of the state. And we're losing a lot of youth because we're getting too tough on them. To recall correctly, we passed, when we put the four-point together, the commission passed to exclude youth from that policy. Our attorney general called recess and have us remove that from that package because it wasn't part of the original 101 and 102. The commission then repassed the motion without youth being excluded and instructed the staff to put that in rulemaking procedures for the following year. That didn't happen. As it didn't happen last year, when I was on the commission, I brought it up, what happened? And they said we'd looked over it. I said, well, let's make sure it's on this year's. It's not on this year's. So I don't know what we need to do, but I think you can even pass it and probably won't have any people complaining about youth having more opportunity. Or possibly you could add more permits to the youth area and put that into this year's rulemaking. But definitely it should be part of the three-year package. We're losing hunters. We don't want to use our youth people, and we're making it too difficult for them to have success, and that's what we got to stop doing. So that's all I got.
Good job. You do that pretty well. I would be interested in having a discussion at some point when staff are prepared about the youth opportunity piece that dropped off the plate somehow. Does anyone know if there's a problem that has emerged, or is this something that just slipped through the cracks? I do recall that I think we did intend to exempt youth. Nate, do you remember? No, you don't remember. Okay, we'll have to have that conversation when you refresh your memory. Okay.
Soon.
It'll be soon. Okay, that concludes the hearing.